Well, hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Welcome to Healing Class, House on the Rock Church. Man, it's good to see you here.
Good to be seen. Thank you.
Amen. God is good. And we're going to learn this morning about his goodness. So let's start with a prayer. Heavenly Father, our Father, thank you. Thank you for what you have already accomplished for us. Thank you for your great love and your earnest desire to share with us everything that you provided for us. Lord, we open our hearts to receive your goodness. We receive your word. Receive the revelation knowledge that you want to share with us so we can walk in the fullness of what you have provided. And we receive that now in the name of Jesus. We are teachable, correctable, directional. We're focused on you during this time. And we receive that in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Well, I have a question this morning, first, to start off with. What brought you here? Not a car, I mean, but why are you here this morning? You could have been in a lot of different places. You could have been to other classes. You could have stayed home. It's a snowy morning. You had a lot of choices. What brought you here to this class?
Well, I thought Sean was going to continue the ones he's been doing.
I appreciate your honesty. I appreciate it. There could be other things, you know. Maybe the other class was full. I don't know. You know, came in and said, I don't know, I came in the wrong class. I didn't know. But is there something why you chose healing class? Let me put it that way then. Why healing class this morning?
Want to get healed.
Want to get healed.
I have these, I call them mini annoyances. In my body.
Many annoyances. Okay.
Like 2 weeks ago, I couldn't step on my left foot. And I did the right thing. I rebuked it and it went away. And then last week, it went to my right foot. So this, it's irritating. I know I can get rid of it, but I don't want them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So there's healing that you're...
Yes.
That you're seeing here. Anybody else? What bring you here? You're looking for healing. And what would bring you here to look for healing? What are you expecting to hear and encounter? Or
God's word. Or a word of
God's word. God's word. Jude?
Affirmation of what I already know.
Affirmation of what I already know. Kind of like what Peter said, I bring you into remembrance of what you already know in God's word. Now, this was along the same lines as what people did in Jesus' day. It talks about that over in Luke chapter 5. In Luke chapter 5 and verse 15, it says that, however, the report went around concerning him all the more, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. Hear and be healed. Now let's go over to the next chapter, Luke chapter 6. In Luke chapter 6, in verse 17, he said he came down with them and stood on a level place with the crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and from the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon who came to hear him and be healed of their diseases, as well as those who were tormented with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for power went out from him and healed them all. So just like, Gail, you were saying about came for the word of God, they came also. They came for healing, but they came to hear and to be healed. What were they coming to hear? What was drawn that we want to hear what he said? Gail, did that hand?
Good news.
They wanted to hear good news. He was sharing with them about the kingdom. He was sharing with them about the word. Had they never been exposed to the word of God before?
I think there's a difference here. There was power when he was speaking. People were being healed. So if people are getting healed after he teaches, obviously he must have something right that he's teaching.
Yes. Because they had been exposed to the Word of God every week in synagogue. They read the scriptures. And I believe the young the boys had to memorize the first five books of the Bible, or really called the books of Moses, in those days, the books of Moses. They had to memorize it. So they knew the word. But there was something different about the way Jesus taught it. So they were going to hear him speak, hear him teach, and then expecting to be healed because of the way he taught, because of the way that word impacted. So it wasn't like it was the word of God, but they had already been exposed to the word of God. They had already seen the word of God. They had already been familiar with it every week after week, the word of God. So look with me at Matthew chapter 7, because what you said, Johnny, is borne out there in Matthew chapter 7. And we're going to go look at verse 28. And Jesus had just, and throughout Matthew chapter 7, Jesus is teaching the people. And he's telling them about lots of different things, a lot of different teachings. And then at the end, he finishes up on the teachings. And in Matthew chapter 28, he said, "And so it was, when Jesus had ended these sayings, that the people were astonished at his teaching. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes." There was authority to that teaching. There was not just, we're teaching law. We're teaching rules. We're not just teaching, well, here's what the scripture says, memorize this. He taught with power. There was a life that he had in his word. There was life that he did. So in that word, it said the people were astonished. They in the Greek, it's like struck with amazement. That's like gobsmacked, you know, like, wow. Anybody ever have an experience where you're reading the word and all of a sudden it just like pow, like the old Batman, pow, and you see that? Have you ever had anything like that? Where it's like, I remember the first time that happened to me. Because I'd been raised denominationally. I grew up in a denomination and even was in the seminary for a number of years, and we studied seminary things. And then I went out, and then we ended up not continuing on there, got married, had a couple kids, and was doing the denominational thing, going to church, you know, raising the kids. We had a couple kids then by that time. And I started getting, all of a sudden, the Lord was bringing me around, introducing me to the word, or people that taught the word. And I got watching a particular TV minister on Sunday mornings. I'd go to church, then I'd watch this TV minister. And I remember watching him one day, and he's teaching out of the book of Mark. And I said, I took the book of Mark in theology, in seminary. And so I've known this, and I just watched him, and I listened to him. And my jaw almost dropped. He's telling me things that I had never seen. And it was like, I was struck with amazement. And I remember saying, I never heard that. I studied that scripture. I looked at that scripture. I never saw that. And it was like, what? How could I have missed that? And it was like so simple. But how could I have missed that? And it was like, pow, right in my face. I was struck with amazement on it. And it really was instrumental then in leading me to accept the Lord. Because I went to seminary, but I never had an understanding of how to be born again. I never understood that that was our denomination didn't teach that. It didn't teach you must be born again. Didn't even explain the plan of salvation. It was, you know, you did certain things. You got baptized in the church. You did this. And basically it was works. But when I started seeing the truth of the word, it was like, wow, how did I ever miss this? So there is and I think that's what people saw when they came to Jesus too. That when he taught them as one having power, having authority, because it was what he was saying was alive. Has anybody had something where you had the word, and all of a sudden the word came alive and it made a change? Yes, Judy.
Yeah, when I was right after I got saved, I didn't know I had gotten saved.
Yeah.
So I was led to John 14, in there, he talks about Jesus sending back the Comforter, who would always be with me and in me, and I knew right then that's what had happened.
Mm-hmm.
It was in me now.
Yeah, and see, God, and it wasn't just a scripture at that point that you knew, it was God that spoke to you, and you knew that personally then. So that all introduction is going to, now I'm going to give you the title of what God told me for the class today. And is Jesus, what do you say? Jesus, what do you say? Because in this, we talk about, okay, the Word. And we'll do things. We'll say, okay, what does the Word say? Well, what does the Word say? And that's true. Jesus is the Word of God. John tells us that. The Gospel of John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It tells us about how the Word became flesh, Jesus, and dwelt among us. So that isn't accurate to say, well, what does the Word say? What does Jesus say? But God has had me look at it a different way, and it's very personal when I say, Jesus, what do you say? Not what the Word says as far as I'm going to quote a scripture, but what does Jesus say is more than what scripture do I remember. All right, do you see what I'm saying there? It's not just about remembering a scripture. It's about what did Jesus say to you about that scripture? What has he said to you? What has he revealed to you? What is this personal revelation that you have on every particular subject? Lord, what about this issue that I'm going through? What does your word say? And there's a knowing then, an intimacy of wait a minute, Jesus told me this. And there's a continuation. There's like almost a living thing that you're going through then with him. It's a constant communication that you have with him. What about this, Jesus? Jesus, what do you say about this? What do you say about this? Because, you know, everybody has something to say. We have this expression that we say, well, they say, who's this they? You know, we use that expression. Well, they say, the Germans have a similar saying, they say, man sagt, da-da-da-da, man says. Now, when you look at it from that standpoint, man says, and when it comes to healing, man says certain things. Man says certain things based on the decade that you're in. You know, man's got it all laid out for you. If you go in there, okay, you're in your 40s. Okay, now you're in your 50s. This is what you should expect. Oh, now you're in your 60s. This is what you should, 70s? Well, this is what you should expect. See, man has a wisdom, or man has a, well, I guess we'd use it, it'd be a worldly wisdom.
A way that seems right to a man.
Mm-hmm. Yes. A way that seems right to a man, but the end of it is death. Yeah, it's death. There's a way that seems right. There is a way that a man has to take things. And there's a way that God has. And so it's that personal understanding, it's that personal communication, it's that personal intimacy, and that point of direct communication with them where you're gonna say, what do you say, Lord? What do you say? Other people, other situations are gonna be talking to you. And so but then there'll be a choice. And am I saying, like, for example, that confession is wrong, that, you know, learning scriptures is wrong? No. But it's a process. It's something that you do, and I hesitate to use that word, it's something that you do, because as soon as people hear do, some of you here might even say, what do I have to do to receive this healing? What do I have to do to get this? What do I have to do? And I was in a similar boat. I mean, you know, I've watched healing testimonies, and okay, what did they do? What did they do? And we can get caught up in what did they do, but a lot of those, and just as a sidetrack, we'll come back to it, but If you're familiar with Andrew Womack's ministry's website, they have dozens, they have over 36 different healing testimonies, videos. They run from 5 to 15 minutes. And they're real good. They provide a place, and when you watch them, you can get encouragement. But when you watch a testimony, watch that your mind doesn't say, what did they do? So then I will just do what they did. Because if you look underneath that, what a lot of the common thread that I found is what they did is they got a revelation of what God said to them personally. So they got revealed to them what God is saying. What do you say, Lord? And they said, meditated on the word. It wasn't that the meditation and the amount of hours that I put in this word now clicks a clock and God says, okay, now you've done enough. No, the time spent with God allows you to see what he's really saying. You say, Lord, what do you say here? And it allows you to reveal, and then that click happens and you say, ah, I see it. He took my sickness. He bore my pains. It was like I was talking about the Mark situation where I was watching this preacher talk about Mark, and I had studied that already. And I took theology, all right? Theology, just like geology is the study of the earth. And biology is the study of life, bios meaning life. Theology is the study of God, and theos, and so that's the study of God. But that's like, if that's like learning about God, but not becoming familiar with God. It's like if you wanted to get to know somebody, you say, boy, Johnny, I'd really like to get to know you. Could you send me your resume? That would help me learn about Johnny. But what do you do when you want to get to know somebody? What do? You spend time together. And what do you do while you're spending time together? You talk back and forth. You talk back and forth. And as you talk back and forth, you start learning about the person. You start learning about their character. You start learning about their heart. You develop a relationship. So it's not just, it's not just learning about. I'm learning facts. I'm learning scriptures. I'm studying. I'm working my way through this checklist. And where in the world am I on my list? Am I on my notes? I have no idea. So let me just look real quick. But where we're going, but what we're really. Oh, we were talking about. About Jesus when he talked about, how do we get to know somebody? We talk with them. We actually have communication with them. We actually have some intimacy with them. We actually learn and develop. And in that, what I believe was Jesus was showing, this is what Jesus came to bring us when he said that you might have everlasting life. This is everlasting life, that you may know God, that you may have an intimacy with God. And I think what also was drawn people to Jesus, he was the personification of what was happening now, coming to a new covenant. They had lived under an old covenant, a covenant of works and law, and the scripture was there, but it was works. He was showing them the heart of God, the love of God, the healing of God, it's the word, but it's the word of God for you. Not for your performance, but for you, for what's being done for you, and that healing was all part of it. So they were being drawn to that love. They were being drawn that they actually saw the goodness of God. Here's the goodness of God. Be revealed to me. And what was happening was Jesus was speaking to them. And I know when I was younger, I used to say, "Oh, if I could have just been there and listened to Jesus speak." That would have been so cool. You could have Jesus talk to you. And sometimes we say, if only I would have been there. If only I would have been there, like back then. But Jesus said, what did Jesus say about that? You know what he said? Did he say it would have been better if you were back there?
No.
What did he say?
Even angels long to look into these things. Today, God and man. And
In these last days, God has spoken through his son, and so it's better to be on this side.
It's better to be on this side.
Yeah.
It's better.
I go away and I'm sent by the Spirit.
Yeah. That's what he said. He said, it is better for you that I go. Isn't that something? It is better for you that I go. We said, oh, if only I could have been there when Jesus was there. But Jesus said, it is better for you that I go. And it's like, wow. Well, that's what Jesus said. Jesus, what do you say? Jesus said, it's better for you I go. Okay, well then it's better. Then I'm going to stop that line of thought because Jesus said it's better for me that he went. Because then there's a Holy Spirit to actually live inside of me and reveal to me, actually speak to me. And that's one of the promises that the Holy Spirit was sent. One of the promises that Jesus said in John 14, when he was last communicating with his disciples, when he was telling him that it was better for him to go, and he talked about the Holy Spirit, the Helper. He said, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance the things that I said to you. Remember the title, Jesus, what do you say? And notice he didn't say, he'll bring to your remembrance all the scriptures that you study. Now, there may be a scripture that come back to your remembrance when you're seeking something. And that scripture will be something that he revealed to you, he spoke to you. It's the things that he said to you that will impact you. So it's the, like, when things are, when other voices are trying to say things to you, and you say, Jesus, what do you say? The Holy Spirit can bring that back. Remember what Jesus said. Remember what he said. There was one particular testimony that I want to refer to on that, it's in the Healing Journeys on awmi.net. And it's about this electrician. It's over in Scotland. He was doing some work on a two-story, I think it was two-story, it was a pretty tall building. And he slipped off and hit his head on the pavement. And they took him to the rush into the hospital, and one of the other workers called this man's wife and said, Al's had an accident, and we're taking him to the hospital. So she talked to the Lord. And she said, well, Lord, what about this? He said, he's going to be all right. So she goes to the hospital, and then she sees the condition. His head's all swollen. They said he's had three embolisms, and one would kill him. And they said he's not going to live. And even if he does live, he's going to be a vegetable. And all these things that Manzacht, that men was saying to him, to her. And she said, she went to the Lord and said, well, Lord, what about this? You said he's going to be all right. And God told her, yes, and I haven't changed my mind. See? And so that was, but that was, okay, the Holy Spirit bringing back to remembrance of what he had already said. And that's as far as Jesus, what do you say? That's where that intimacy, that, okay, you said this. Just like she had to stand through that and say, you said this. So I'm standing on that. And then she would ask, okay, Lord, I need a scripture. I need something. And, you know, and he gave her Psalm 91. Okay, stand on that. You know, there's a step. It's not like, okay, Lord, what do you say? And you hear, okay, I'll take it from here. But that would be foolish. It's, Lord, what do you say? Okay, now what do you say? And now what do you say? It's that, okay, what do you say? Because it's a walking out process. And if we say, well, Lord, I thought you said this, but these circumstances came up. I thought you said this, but now this pain is not doing what I expected it to do. You said this, but said, you said this, so. You said this, so therefore I'm speaking to my body based on what you said. Therefore I'm commanded based on what you said, because you said this to me. And see, can you see the difference between that and, okay, here's, I have my scriptures. And so now, and I'm going to confess what I would do. Okay, if there's a pain came, I'll grab my scriptures. and start, it's like a Gatling gun, you know, and just shoot. And there's a place for doing the word, but not as a replacement, let's say. Not as a replacement for, okay, God, what do you say? And not as a replacement for being led by the Spirit. It's like, okay, what do you say about this? And then having that relationship, okay, then that's what I'm gonna say. You notice, what do you say? Then that's what I'm gonna say. That's what Jesus did. He said, I don't do anything but what I see the Father do. And he said, I don't say anything but what I hear the Father say. So it's that same, if we're like Jesus, and that's his modus operandi, then that's our modus operandi. That's our way of operations. It's like, okay, what do you say? That's what I say. And regardless of what other things may be trying to influence us or get us to speak something contrary, it's got to be go back to, what do you say? So any situation you have that comes back to that. All right. So what did you learn so far?
Listen to Jesus.
Listen to Jesus.
And ask him.
Ask him. Yeah.
What you're describing is the birthplace of faith. It's not just the word, the logos, it's the rhema, revealed word.
Yeah.
Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. If you look up that word for word, it's rhema, which means it's the revealed word of God.
Revealed word.
I mean, lots of people can read the Bible and not walk in any kind of power at all. But when you get a revealed word to you, that's where faith is ignited.
Mm-hmm.
And things.
Yeah.
I used to read the Bible too, Jim, Pastor Jim, before I learned about grace, and I would always feel condemned. And it wasn't until I heard Jesus tell me I was forgiven.
Ah.
It really got that in me that I could read the word and have it be revealed to me.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. And that in that one simple word, but yet you could read scripture and say, I'm forgiven, I'm forgiven, I'm forgiven, I'm forgiven, I'm forgiven. But until you got the word that said, I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven. And all of a sudden it's like, wow, everything changed. And then from forgiveness then also springs so many other things. When you walk from forgiveness, well then, if I'm forgiven from my sins, well then, of course, I'm healed from my diseases because that was a consequence of sin. Well, of course, these other things are then because that was a consequence. And I'm forgiven of my sins. So it's really foundational of being that. So it's just that. But it's a simple word. And if there's anything that comes up afterwards, or like, wait a minute, Jesus told me. Jesus told me. It's settled. Well, no, Jesus told me. I asked him and he told me. But yeah, that rhema, that revealed word, is a difference between that word revealed means like uncovered, made, it's almost like made naked, made open, made revealed, opened up. So that real, all of a sudden, before it was just a word. That's why people were amazed. I mean, the scribes were amazed when Jesus would talk, because he'd go back to the word to them. And it was like, wow, we didn't see that. There was an opening up of the word. And that's what, when even on the meditating of, let's say, healing scriptures, one thing on common on a lot of the healing testimonies that I noticed was that people would spend time in the word. They would spend time meditating. They would spend time in the word. And one day they would be like, the revelation would come. I mean, they would get that revelation. It wasn't God withholding that, but they would get it. They would, by stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. It was like personal. It was like Jesus speaking to them, by my stripes, you are healed. It was personal. I took your pain. I took your pain, Ken. It's like, yeah, it became very personal then. And it was like, oh. And just like revelation of forgiveness or revelation other revelation, it was like, that's mine. And then, wait a minute, that's mine. The thief, you're not going to steal this from me. This is mine because Jesus said it's mine. And I'm not going to be stolen from by you. This is mine. So there's that key point. It's a simple thing. It's so simple. I mean, as far as expressing it, to say, Jesus, what do you say? Sometimes a prayer minister may ask you when you come up, say, what scripture are you standing on? And a lot of times, we'll pick out a healing scripture. But what we're trying to convey is, what has Jesus said to you? What scripture has he spoken to your heart? What has he revealed to you? What rhema, what revelation have you seen? It's like, well, this is mine. So you come up and say, I want you to agree because this is mine. I've been meditating on this word about healing. I've been meditating about what he did on the cross, what the stripes, what his stripes paid for, how he took my infirmities. I saw in the word of God that said that he became sickness so I could become healed. I saw in the word of God that by his stripes I was healed. I saw in the word of God that he said, I took your pain. So now you're coming from a position of not just, okay, this is a healing scripture that I remember, but no, this is something that God spoke to me. This is something that Jesus spoke to me. So therefore, devil, out.
That's right.
I'm not receiving sickness in this body. No, because Jesus said. And it's not just Jesus said to somebody else, so-and-so said this, so therefore so-and-so said. So, well, I know so-and-so, but what do you say? Like Jesus when he turned around and said, okay, what do people say that I am? And he said this, this, and this. And he said, well, what do you say? Who do you say I am? It's like, what did Jesus say to you? So it's staying in that place of intimacy, in that place of hearing, that place of power that you can, because Jesus spoke with authority and with power. And people were hearing that word. Praise God.
Yeah.
Praise God. Is that blessing anybody?
Yes.
Is it helping?
Yes.
Are you seeing something? I'm going to read a few scriptures. These are some scriptures that were, let me see if I can find them. I don't know if anybody's familiar with Brother Keith Moore. He took a bunch of scriptures and he put them in first person singular. So the word of God is Jesus. Jesus is the word of God. So when the word of God is saying something, it's Jesus communicating. And so I found these to be helpful. And so I would go through different ones and start reading them that way. It's okay, Jesus, what do you say about, you know, what do you say about healing? He says, you know, I mean, some of them are like, well, I'm the Lord that heals you. Amen. All right, I'm the Lord that heals you. Now, and if we go to New Testament, you know, Jesus told the leper that came to him, I will be clean. But then he also said in Matthew chapter 8, where it says, he took your infirmities. If you'd make that into first person, that's Jesus, the word saying, I took your infirmities. I took your infirmities. I took your sicknesses. He goes, I bore your pains. And when you read the scriptures that way, it's not he did for somebody. It's I did for you. And now it becomes personal. Now it becomes, wait a minute. This isn't just about general. This is about me and what he did for me. His love for me. His word for me. His revelation to me. And it's like, now I've got, wait a minute, this is mine. And I won't go through all of them, but there's so many that it takes about 20 minutes, I think, to read through all of them. If you read and do it, but it's such an exercise, not being exercise meaning work, but exercise meaning, wow, opportunity to sit. Anybody that's ever had to try to develop a relationship, know there's work involved. As you're working through a relationship, there's time involved, there's an investment involved, there's a listening involved, there's a communication involved, and so there's some work with it. But it's not a work to get, but it's a work of faith. Let's call it like that, where you're I want to find out more about you, Lord. I want to be able to hear the answer when I say, Lord, what do you say? Because if I don't have an understanding of this, I'm going to have a hard time hearing what he says. Because, first off, this is what he said. This is what he said. And so when I look at this, I say, okay, Lord, this is what you said. Okay, show me now. I'm opening up so you can speak to me, so you can reveal to me for my situation, for where I am. This is where I am. This is what I said. Let me just wrap up here with there's a few scriptures that were really, he was talking about the Word of God, and he was talking about, in me is life. Life. He said, I'm the bread of life. I give you life. That's over in John 6. Because he said about the words I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. I come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. This is Jesus speaking to you. And as you meditate on that, this is Jesus just speaking. See him speaking to you directly. Not speaking generally, I came to bring you all, but see him speaking to you specifically. And see him say to you, I came life. I came to bring you life. I paid a price for that life. Receive that life. I am the resurrection and the life. And the Spirit gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. Lord, let's take a minute here. Let's take a minute. Everybody has stuff or things that they came in with. And I just want you to practice. Lord, we're going to be getting ready here to minister your healing. But I want you to just take a moment now and just say, Lord, what do you say? What situation is going on in my life? Or what things are happening in the area of health, healing? And Lord, what do you say about this? What do you say, Lord? I'm listening to you. Holy Spirit, thank you. Thank you for revealing the words that have been given to us in the past, bringing that back up to our members. Things that Jesus said to us. Things that we might have let slip. And so that's right, that he's going to bring back to your remembrance now. Things that, oh, I had gotten a word on that. God had revealed something to me. Jesus had said something to me. I let it slip. I got caught up in what the world was saying. And he may also be bringing some things that, oh, hey, you need to deal with this. Here's a situation. He may be bringing things up to you now. But it's important to just let him speak and be open to receive. Lord, thank you. Thank you for what you're doing right now as people's hearts are receiving that word, that direction from you. Thank you. Now, and as you get that word, then rise up with boldness on that word. Be able to say, this is mine. This is mine. Jesus said this. And that's final. Amen. Hallelujah. Questions, comments, thoughts. Praise God. Ifoma?
Yeah, I want to kind of support the your hearing from the Lord, even though we know we know the scriptures by heart, and we can, with a testimony, it was a while back, I was having a problem with my health. And I went to the Lord and I started praying. And Matthew chapter 8, verse 17, just jumped out at me, you know. Later on, when test results came out, and they were, in fact, I was praying on my knees when my husband came back with the test result and said, better get to the hospital now. I said, no, I'm healed, you know. Because of that word of God, it gave me confidence. You know, it's, it's like he has spoken. Nothing else can happen now, you know. And that symptom went away eventually without me going to the hospital or any of that. But what gave me the kind of resolve within was that word that I received. Jesus personally, he didn't delegate anyone. He personally took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses. I could picture that.
Yeah.
You know, and I didn't think anybody could change that.
That's exactly where... Thank you for sharing that, because that's really the, but it all wraps around it. Jesus, you said, okay, Jesus, what do you say? And you got that revelation, not what scripture I'm standing, but what did you say to me personally? Okay, then that's my word. And then I'm standing on that, and I'm not moving. Yeah, Carol.
Can't we just believe what God's word says? Can't we believe it and receive it? And I mean, I think if everybody had to wait for God to give them a specific word, that wouldn't be right.
Well,
because the word is the truth anyway. It's always the truth. It never changes. So can't we just believe it?
Well, I think the word that you put in there was wait. There is nothing about wait that I was trying to convey. So.
Have a word from God. Well, what if I don't have? What if I don't hear God say something?
Well, here's what I would start with. If I say I don't hear God say something, then you do have a word already. It says, "My sheep hear my voice." So I would start with something that said, "Well, Lord, I do hear your voice." And then I would start with, like you say, "Can I believe?" Well, what did he say? I can believe it. All right, Lord. And then I believe this. And it. Go ahead, Johnny.
Jesus didn't do anything he didn't hear the Father say to do, so we have the ability to hear just as well as Jesus did. So if he didn't do anything he didn't hear the Father say, why would we? Yes, you have the Word. The Word gives you God's will for all people, but you need to hear for your own individual self as well. That's the difference between just the Logos written word or the Rhema word being a word that God actually speaks to your heart. So you can go by just what the word is there, but if you believe, then there's your rhema, because you believe.
And, yeah,
that's what I'm saying, believe.
Believe, but believe. See,
receive, you have to believe it and receive it.
But believe, I think we're talking about, I think we might mix in different words there, because when Ifoma said she had a word from God, she believed that word. The word from God was the scripture. It wasn't just, okay, I've got a scripture. It was, I'm believing that word because, wait a minute, this is what it says. It was spoken to her heart. I believe this. You believe from the heart. So believing is receiving that word into your heart and say, yes, that's my word. I believe that. And that's another way of saying, you can use that terminology. Yeah, that was revealed to me. That is not just, okay, Jesus took my sicknesses. Okay, but it's like, no, Jesus took my sicknesses. That's my word. So I don't think that we're
It's not contradictory.
Yeah, I don't think it's contradictory. I think that we're saying the same thing. It's the word of God. Why can't I just believe it? Well, when you hear it spoken to you, it is believing it. When you believe it, it's because it's spoken to you. I mean, because you've received that word as yours. You've received it as your word from God to you. And you say, and in order to do that, you have to, you know, that you're hearing him. So I said, and if I said, well, I'm having trouble hearing him, I'd go back to the word that says, well, my sheep do hear my voice. So I'd say, well, then I do hear it. Because Jesus said, I hear his voice. So therefore, I believe that, and I hear his voice. So thank you, Lord, as I'm reading this, this is your voice. Then if you said this, then I believe that. And go from there, and then build on it from that way. Right? But I don't think it's contradictory, and I don't think you have to wait, like, okay, I have to tarry until I know that I have this word. It's, Lord, I want this to be a word for me.
Or to hear an audible voice.
Or to hear an audible voice.
Hear an audible voice.
Amen.
Amen.
We're going to close, because I apologize, we went over a little bit. But thank you, Lord, for this time. Thanks for what your word has spoken. And thank you for cementing this in our hearts so that we can walk in the fullness of what you have provided. Amen. I'm going to be here. So if you want some, you want to have some prayer ministry, want us to agree with you, then we'll be happy to agree with you and see that word of God come to fruition in your life. Amen. You are dismissed.